what were your first thoughts on her new comments?
Oh, I'm not sure I can say that in on public, seriously. You know, look, the same old, same old. And that brings up a question in itself. How can someone who is so unauthoritative on these issues continue to be interviewed? To me, it's the same as, let's say, a program on IT interviewing someone who still believes we'll never get past computers that are the size of a room being interviewed on computers. It is totally out of date, not authoritative, and totally inaccurate. And, you know, the media has to be asking how can they have such unreliable sources continually quoted. And I could, that's a rhetorical question, but I could give actual answers if you like. I think that they probably see some degree of, you know, revving up the ratings, or in the case of media, internet newspapers, internet clicks, or whatever else in Jermaine Greer. What they don't realise is that every time this sort of nonsense is aired, it is re-triggering for trans people, and that's of all ages. It could be, for example, it could be someone who's younger, you know, who's isolated at home and school. But even if you're an older trans person, you've heard this so many times, you're thinking, is it ever going to change? Even though there has been little bits of, you know, some degree of progress in the last 3 to 4 years. So it is dangerous and unhealthy and unethical. And it's worrying that media just go to someone like that, yet won't come to trans people. And, you know, Q&A has now had this situation in itself 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, I mean, medical and psychiatric institutions have all come out and said that being transgender is obviously a legitimate identity, as well as transgender people themselves. Why do you think people like Jermaine Greer even consider it still a topic that's up for debate?
Look, they may have some emotional block that leads them stuck in their views, but I have to be really honest, and normally I wouldn't say this, but Greer is a self-promoter. It's, you know, that was interesting. She raised these views in late October last year, just before she was due to give a lecture. And similarly, you know, Barry Humphrey's about to do his farewell tour, make some anti-transgender remarks. But the problem is it backfires. There is enough understanding now of transgender, and particularly a greater degree of allyship, if there's a difference compared to, say, 5 years ago. You know, a lot more of what I call broader community do understand transgender issues, and, you know, are not fooled by the sort of things that are being heard. And this is the thing, those media outlets that continue to give people like Jermaine Greer and those who hold similar views space are actually damaging their own reputations, particularly when they don't have trans people to counter it with, you know, lived experience, up-to-date evidence and fact and what needs to change.
Do you think the change in attitudes is down to, what do you think it's down to?
I think there's a couple of things. The obvious one, and I'll make it a bit broader than even internet and social media, is, to be fair, better telecommunications. So, yes, internet and social media, but also both on this, what I call, there's two levels to this, the support and the advocacy level. You know, we have Skype and we've got, you know, cheaper phone conferencing calls. So for people wanting to create change, you know, it's still, I'm a 50-year-old who's still in awe of technology, and the fact that I can contact someone who is in French Guiana and have a conversation is quite amazing to me. excuse me, sorry. The other part, I would acknowledge our trans pioneers and elders. 2 years ago, there was the Carlotta, I call it a docudrama on TV, which looked, you know, used Carlotta's life for that story. And you look at what people went through in that era. The fact that anyone survived in the Australian context to keep us going is quite amazing. So I think we always need to pay tribute to elders and seniors and pioneers in trans and gender diverse communities.
You spoke about how the media handles transgender issues. I mean, how do you think it can be improved?
Always check in with someone's preferred pronoun if you can ask, and always use their... that's a bad choice of words. Always check in with which pronouns they use. Preference is not a good word. I've slipped there. My apologies. But also check in with their name and never ask or use what their previous name was. And Kate McGregor's been on the receiving end of that sort of bad stuff. This practice of dead naming, using a past name, is not on. And both of those things are important, because to use wrong name and pronoun is a sense of denial. Oh, you're not really the gender you say you are. Other things they can do, check in with everyone's, you know, at an individual level, check in with, you know, the terminology that everyone uses. Some people might use trans, some might use gender diverse, gender queer. That's important. You know, always check to see if what you're quoting is up to date in terms of research, is another one. And another one went through my head there and it's gone. But, you know, sort of also look for a diverse range of trans and gender diverse people. I think we have, to a large extent, got a basic adult trans narrative on the map, particularly for trans women. And there's been more talk about trans young people and their families, but there doesn't seem to be enough visibility for trans men, and there could be more on non-binary gender identities as well, and also culturally and linguistically diverse, Indigenous, including sister girls and brother boys. I mean, I'm well aware that I acknowledge my privilege here. I'm a white trans woman, and I acknowledge that there needs to be more room for diversity as well. And so that's something else that can be considered. Don't just look at the same angles time and again. And, you know, so there's a few things just for starters.
Looking forward, do you think the media is improving on these issues?
Look, it has improved to some extent. I mean, when virtually every media outlet 10 or 15 years ago would run off to organisations that were similar to the Australian Christian Lobby, for trans and never contact us at all, that's a start. And, you know, I know there's criticism of the ABC lately, but they have also done some good stuff. The Four Corners report a couple of years ago, some of their online media is very good. SBS, including Insight, Fairfax Media. The problem, let's call out spades, that Murdoch Media has a standard pattern, but it's still... And that larger, you know, chunks of media that lots of people watch, where there is still that gap, and that, of course, is troubling.
Well, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for speaking to me.
Thank you. A pleasure. And, well, if I'm going to acknowledge the good media, I'll certainly acknowledge 2SER as part of community media, declaring conflict of interest as someone who also presents on community media, who I think overall do a good job. And getting down to the grassroots. And, it might seem like it's smaller numbers, but one person hears this and it makes a difference, then, of course, it's got to be good. So I do appreciate your support very much.